As Kaelin comes now and reads our epistle, we're using this paper because I've requested that it's read from the English Standard Version, which you have. And in 10 minutes, I can't do this dense set of passages justice. So please take it home. Please read it verse by verse, line by line. Thank you, Kaelin.
Yeah. So the epistle is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. A reading from the English Standard Version. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that we have loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have the confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can I invite you to stand for our gospel reading? Also on the other side of your paper. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, will you lead us into greater knowledge and greater abiding in you this morning? Amen. Do be seated. So, I want to grab you at the beginning while you're still awake with two Greek words. That's not permission to go to sleep later, by the way. So you'll see on the paper that you have from the English Standard Version, on the one side is the epistle, 1 John chapter 4, our passage, and on the other side, the gospel from John 15. I've chosen the English Standard Version for both because of the word abide. You'll see that later. Our epistle begins, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God." The first Greek word is ek, E-K. Those words from and of are the same Greek word, out from or out of. And actually, ek is used 9 times in the first 6 verses of 1 John that was before our passage begins. And that word denotes origin, the means or the source or the instrument of an activity. Spatially, it's an extension from a space to a goal that is outer. So we're told love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God. So both love and we have our origin in God. God is the source and the instrument of us and our activity, and is the source of love. Hold that thought. The second Greek word I want to bring out today, as I say, is translated the same in both passages in this English Standard Version. And that's the Greek word for translated as abide. 5 times in our first letter of John, and 7 times in John's Gospel in our passage from chapter 15. Abide. It's an important word in both passages today. From the Greek root meno, a verb, it means to stay or to remain, to live, to dwell, to be present in, to be in a state or relation that begins and continues. So it's ongoing. Now, our epistle and our gospel team up today, or rather, they gang up on us today with the same challenge. God is our source, our origin, and the source and origin of love. We must live in, remain present in, begin and continue in him, or our love will die, and we will die. So these passages challenge us. Are we living in God? Are we remaining present to God every day, not just Sunday? Have we begun and continuing still in God? Or are we feeling a bit lukewarm or worn down by our struggles or our doubts? Have we stopped feeding ourselves from that same source, that root, that origin of our being and the origin of love? Or maybe we've even purposely turned away from it. In the Christian life, there needs to be a constant turning towards God each and every day. There is so much in our lives to turn us away. Either busyness, demands, distractions, or temptations, or even lies. So much that stops us really living in God. Let's think about love for a moment. Where does love begin and where do we see it? Well, verses 9 and 10 in 1 John, we know that God's love was revealed in Jesus Christ. And verse 10 says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So it doesn't begin with us. Human nature cannot create love. God is the source of love. It's not we, but he. And this passage tells us that if we love one another, God lives in us. And God can therefore be seen in us because of our love for others. And it gets sharper than this in verse 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's hammering home the fact that this Christian life, this abiding, this dwelling, this living in God, is not about us. It's about others. Remember that ek. It's an extension from a space to a goal that is outer. This is a must, not a maybe. We must be self-giving because God was self-giving. We can only love because God loved first. Because of what God's love has done in us. And this can only be done in us if we remain, if we abide, if we live and continue to live in him. Verse 17 and 18 in 1 John offer us another way to look at these questions. I wonder if you feel any sense of fear or anxiety about the future, or more specifically, about the end of your life. Many of you know I worked as a hospice chaplain, and people would often say to me, has it been good enough, my life? Have I been good enough? And this question comes out of an uncertainty, an anxiety, a fear of the future for them. And yet, verse 18 tells us that there is no fear in love. If you feel any fear or anxiety where God is concerned, I would dare to say that you haven't quite fully understood or received his love. Why not talk to me about it? Anyhow, back to our passage from 1 John chapter 4. It's a bit repetitive and aspects of it could be thought to be sort of a bit fluffy and soft and woolly. But when we turn over and look alongside 1 John with our gospel today, John chapter 15 verses 1 to 8, we see that is not the case. Actually, there's no fluff and wooliness at all. This abiding is important. This abiding is vital. So let's think then about Jesus as the vine for a moment and what it means to abide in this origin of the source of life and love, using that metaphor of a plant. Jesus Christ is the vine, the source of life. Now, if you pluck a flower or prune a branch off, it dies. If we move away from God, we die. Now, that's not because of some eternal divine punishment. But it's just a fact of life that when something moves or separates from the source of its life, its origin, it dies. We stop
being loving when we are not connected to the source of love. Only branches grafted into the true vine can live and bear fruit. We are either alive with the life of love and the life of God, or we are not. And so, returning to those questions again, are we living in God? Are we remaining present to God every day, not just Sunday? Have we begun and are continuing in God? If you're not sure how to answer those questions for yourself, there's one that cuts through all the others. That question, have I grown? If our Rachel, who's now 24, was still sitting, lying in a cot wearing nappies, it would be odd. Have we grown who have been born in God and continued in God? Have we grown and do we bear fruit? And if not, what are we going to do about it?